It's like one of those times where you're searching for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're looking for it.
Yep.
And it's gold.
And
it's a gold quest.
Yes. Yep.
Oh,
Ding,
well,
ding, ding.
Gorb, you know what?
What?
Sometimes when you're looking for gold, what you really find is yourself. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
I mean, what, that's the real gold right there, you know?
That's the
The treasure inside is what counts.
the treasure outside is nothing compared to the treasure that you get with your friends. You know what
Wow.
I mean?
Yep.
I think we just leveled up.
Yeah, no, that's true alien friendship level up. That's the sound, you know, it comes in over the space.
There's only one sound in space, and that's leveling up.
Yep.
If
No
you're
screaming. You
a
can't be screaming in
transcended
space.
entity.
Yeah, no. Everybody knows that, like, every time a friendship reaches a next level, you know, a supernova goes off somewhere in the universe, and then you hear
And a fairy gets her
the
wings.
Mario noise. Yeah, you can pick it up at that receiver in Puerto Rico, I'm pretty sure.
And at that receiver in Puerto Rico, the person at the phone booth passes the phone over to the fairy that got her wings. You can talk to her.
Oh, how's she doing?
She's good. It's annoying when she loses her wings. She has to get them back again.
It's a
Anyway.
constant, you know, the hedonic treadmill. Do you have a question?
The inventor of ketchup.
Oh, how are we gonna do?
Five letters, more or less letters than five, or exactly five. You can pick one of those three.
Okay.
Their first
Okay.
name, inventor of
So their
ketchup.
first name over under in terms of letters.
Or you can choose exactly five
Or I can choose exactly five.
if you think his or her name, inventor of
I'm gonna
ketchup.
go over five. I'm gonna go on
Over five.
over five. It's a bold choice, but I feel like it was a long time ago, and they liked over five names back then.
They really did.
Wow, you got a winner.
I learned more about ketchup than I ever thought I would, Gorb.
Yeah.
Here's my overview. Tomato ketchup was not invented by a single person, but the first printed recipe was published by James Mees. The name itself comes from the Chinese dialect, Southern Min word ketsap, meaning
No.
brine of pickled fish.
That's yeah. One
You know.
wonders how Philadelphia scientist and horticulturalist James Mees was so familiar with ancient Chinese pickled fish dishes
I
in 1812.
right? And wild at five was the way to go.
Five was the answer. Yeah, just...
Oh,
So,
well,
what do you think?
Gorb,
You want to go first? You want to go second? What's your pick?
I'm riding the five high, and I'm going to go first.
You're gonna go first? Love it.
James, bless me, for this gold quest.
On this gold quest. All right, so do you wanna just give a quick rundown? So I'm gonna give
Yeah.
you a prompt and two items, and then you can choose a third item. Does that sound right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So you pick two of my items, give me the prompt, and I will pick one item, and then we're Jamesing it all the way to the pickled fish, you know?
Okay. Your prompt for 22 minutes and 30 seconds is to tell me how James Meese from Philadelphia knew so much about Southern Chinese culture.
Great. Okay.
You have two items.
What are my two items?
Your two items are Kentucky bluegrass
Love that.
and
And
a frazzle.
a frazzle.
Frog,
And
yeah.
my one added on item to that is burlap sack.
All right, that's fair. That'll do. All right, ready? Here we
I
go.
was born ready, Gorb.
Your clock's ticking. Tell me how James Mease of 1812 Philadelphia knew so much about ancient China.
Okay. The first thing you need to know about James Meese is that he is not alive. I mean, that's pretty obvious,
Yeah, I
right? I
mean,
mean,
it'd be impressive if he was.
he was supposedly his time of existence of the invention of ketchup was in 1812. But Gorb, what I'm about to tell you is that James Meese, not only is he not alive, but he was never alive.
Oh, so
Okay.
he's like a
But
he's is he a tw
that's not entirely accurate either, Gorb, because he at one point he was alive, but it was far before human beings were first taking their, first selfies with cave portraits.
Before they started mashing up tomatoes into a paste resembling pickled fish.
Yes.
Now.
But there's something that is really important about James, which is that
What is
he used to be basically a fish. Okay.
that?
Now I know that there's a lot going on here, but what you need to know is what happened in the year 1771. Okay.
What
So
happened?
here's the truth. And the truthers and the falsers out there, they'll try and mix up your story with all their history books,
That's
okay?
how they do it. They love doing
Humans alive in our 2026 year here would like you
it.
to think that the most technologically advanced humanity has ever been is this year right now in 2026. I mean,
Yeah, they haven't
but
lived to see the
that's
rise of the
simply
herbal mic
not
yet.
true.
No.
The most technologically advanced humanity has ever been was in the year 1771.
Quick, where? Like all, like globally or like just like in one
Globally.
place? Okay.
Globally, but that same time, James Meisel himself landed on Earth. But I say landed, he more so manifested there. Okay.
Like from out of the ocean, because he was a fish.
No,
Was he a
he
space fish?
evaporated into existence. Okay.
Okay.
And he was there, and he was a fish before that, okay?
Before he evaporated into
Before he
existence.
evaporated into existence as a human,
Okay.
okay?
He spent like 2 weeks as a fish and was like, this ain't cutting it.
Yeah, but before he was a fish, he was one of the ancient ones,
Oh,
okay?
what are
Now,
those?
there are four ancient ones,
Okay.
okay?
All right.
We'll just call the first one James
Okay.
because we're gonna learn more about
It's easier to pronounce. Yeah.
how he was able to basically well he one was destroyed and one was made anew. We'll just say that, but okay. I'm talking
Okay, all
about
right. Well,
humanity maybe, but
who are the other three?
there's James, there was Whatnot.
Whatnot? Okay.
Okay. There was Umph.
Umph?
And
Well, wonder if the last one
then,
was
well,
Frozzle.
how did you know, Corb?
Was a
But
sudden guess.
I honestly I couldn't believe it earlier when you added Frozzle onto the ledger here because it even speaking his name is kind of like talking about like a skinwalker almost,
Yeah.
okay? It invites like some sort of like,
frozzleish behavior in.
species-ending event.
No.
Okay, but Frostle isn't really his real name, just like James isn't the true Ancient One's real name. But they each represent like one of the four fundamental elements of existence, right?
What are the
Where
four fundamental elements?
James represents just like savvy.
Okay, the power of savvy. Okay.
Being set like understanding, but like
Okay, so
savvy,
like.
but savvy is like really like at the core of it.
Okay, like competence.
Whatnot is like indifference. Okay.
Okay. What about oomph?
Ump is like frustration.
Okay.
But it's not outward frustration. It's more like this is annoying. It's like annoyance. Okay. And
And Frozzle?
oh geez. The blackness within each one of our daily souls
That's.
is Frozzle.
I would just like to reiterate for the listener that so you can take some notes and go home learning. The four fundamental forces of the universe are savvy, indifference, frustration, and the blackness within each one of us.
That's right. Savvy's doing a lot of the lifting there. Okay. But here's the
That
thing. James doesn't remember anything other than being a fish for 2 weeks and then evaporating as a human.
Okay.
And he was in the middle of Boston. But if you remember, Boston was still technically a colony in the Americas, but
In
not in the way you
1771.
think in the history books, Norm.
Oh, how is it different?
Everyone didn't wear clothes. They just wore burlap sacks.
Okay. So it was like some sort of like nudist cult colony, or
I
it's
mean, you're
pretty
not
cold
nude
there,
if you're
though.
wearing a burlap
That's
sack,
true.
Norm. Have you worn one?
Not in recent memory. No, I
Didn't
can't
think
say I have.
so. Okay.
Feels like it'd be
Now,
itchy.
we were at the peak of like empathy. We're at the peak of like global citizenship in its truest meaning, right?
In 1771.
In 1771, everyone could communicate to each other's brains via emotional signals. Okay? Like
So just the
you could emotionally communicate with someone in, south in southern China if you wanted to,
okay.
right?
Was it was
No
was
borders.
okay. So what we know about 1771 now, if we were to pick open a history book anywhere on Earth, that's all like a lie. It's all you're saying it's all written over that it was like heaven on Earth.
A lie is less true than an inconvenient
Indifference.
truth, as Al Gore would say. Okay, and it's an inconvenient truth because it's true, but like it
And
leaves out everything
inconvenient.
that was good.
Okay,
Okay,
no.
because something happened to where basically all savvy was lost for those 2 weeks that James was a fish. Okay.
Okay.
So the only things left on Earth during those 2 weeks were indifference, frustration, and
Frustration.
darkness. Okay.
Yes, poor Savvy.
Now, when James evaporated into existence, he immediately connected through his mind with Chen.
Okay.
And Chen lived in a very rural area of China,
Okay.
but he was like one of the only people that managed to stay chill for those
Okay.
2 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And Chen basically, like, through telepathy, which was gone for everyone else during the fish weeks,
No fish weeks, yeah.
was able to communicate like what was going on because Chen was like tapped in to all that was happening on Earth.
He was very
And
savvy.
basically, Frozzle was the one who had not only wiped James's memory, but turned him into a fish for those 2 weeks. Okay.
Can I ask why?
He loved pain and
Okay,
continues to love pain.
all right, so it's
Fro
just
Frozzle was
general.
following him. He can't destroy James, but he can really mess with him.
Okay, just classic Frozzle behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But basically, like Chan gave him like the lowdown, and he's in a burlap sack in, modern day Boston. And Earth has deteriorated into what the history books say was happening, right? But
But it's
that all
grown.
happened within 2 weeks,
Okay.
right? Now, all modern history prior to the 2 weeks is just made up.
Okay, yeah.
But
Wait,
everything
hold up.
post 1771 is accurate,
Wait, okay,
factually.
so, okay, but before seven, everything before, like, what about, like, Egypt? That's,
Part of like all of the historians burned the books they had and just made things up
that sounds
because,
about right.
or like a bunch of them just gave up or like generally felt annoyed at what was happening.
Yeah. It was a really
Okay.
golden time for whatnot and
Oh
the
yeah, they were
fundamental forces of
that
indifference and
they won't
frustration.
they don't like assert themselves, but if the opportunity is there, they're like,
I mean,
okay.
they're not, they're just there,
Yeah. So James is like, oh God, how am I gonna fix this? And time check.
You have 10 minutes and 50 seconds left to tell me how he
Bless.
invented ketchup and throwing Kentucky bluegrass.
Okay. So just then, James is like strategizing with Chen long distance. He like finds a house that's like abandoned, and he just like goes into the barn of the abandoned house and like sleeps in hay. He's just eating hay and chill. A cow like feeds him or whatever. Okay. And he like makes butter. He's like eating butter and like hay and like just like conversing with Chen over the course of like many weeks.
Does he
Okay.
remember that he's a fundamental interdimensional being at this point, or is he just James now?
He knows something intuitively, but like nothing concrete because, Frozzle, like from a distance, is still blocking out his like core memories and all of that. But like, because Frozzle is on, he's on Earth. He followed him there. But we don't know what Frozzle's cooking up. But basically, James spends almost like a year just communicating with Chen long distance. They figure that there's no way they're ever going to be able to get to each other.
Yeah,
But they
especially in
develop,
1771.
exactly, they develop this like profound, deep friendship. Okay. Now, Gorb,
Yes.
there are four ancient ones.
Okay.
But there's something called the fifth one,
Who's the
okay?
new guy?
Pretty much.
Okay. What?
None other like elemental forces made after this. So he's perpetually the new guy.
Yeah.
And he's just
Is it Chen?
well, Chen is the manifestation
Okay.
of James. Well, of not of James, but of
Of
like
new
the
guy.
one buddy James has, okay, which is
What's
like great times. Okay.
the fifth fundamental force, or is that just
It's
his
just great
name?
times, yeah.
Just
So
great time.
like Chen's great to talk to. He's like the chillest dude ever.
This is
Okay.
great times.
And so Chen one day is like talking to him. He's like, picking like soybeans or something. And like James is talking about how his like newest cheese is like looking to be like pretty good. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, Chen goes, oh, Oh no. And James is like, what? Like, what? What's going on? And Chen's like, oh. And he goes, oh, and he just melts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
James goes, what was that? What was that? And then, do you know who he hears on the other line?
The other mind link,
The
I'm
other
guessing it's
mind link line.
the blackness within each in each of us.
That's right. And Frozzle. Frozzle goes, hey, buddy, how you doing? And James immediately, like, a lot of like negative feelings come up, but he doesn't know who this is. He just knows it's wrong. He must have just melted Chen, okay?
All right, can I interject here with a clarifying
Yes.
question? Okay, James is aware that he's not aware that he's like a super being or whatever. Did
No.
he think there was anything weird about him having a telepathic connection with a man on the other side of the earth in the
Not
year?
anywhere as weird as being a fish for 2 weeks, you
You
know what
know,
I
all
mean?
right, that's fair. I take it back.
Like, Frazzle's like, I'm coming for you. Like, you, like, oomph and whatnot, I buried them 5,000 feet under the asteroid rock surfaces. So, like, they're not gonna help you. They're not that I think they
Yep,
would help you.
nope,
And James is
no.
like, what are you talking about? Where is Chen? And then he doesn't hear anything else. Okay. Now, here's the point where James is like lost and defeated and he has no idea what to do. He just wanders around for like 10 weeks. He loses his barn, and then finally he's like covered in like his burlap sack. He's the only one left wearing a burlap sack, and he shows up at this tomato farm. Okay. And a baby was just born 10 weeks ago. Okay. So this 10-week old, 10-week old looks at James, like tilts up his chin like a bro, and is like, what's up, man? Okay. And James is like, oh my God, and he knows it's Chen. Okay. Okay. Now here's the thing. Frozzle is very dangerous, but he's also like, because of his darkness, he gets distracted. So James like didn't know like when he would come, but he felt like he would know when he would really be coming. But here's the thing. Okay. About 40 years pass. Okay.
All right.
James and reincarnated Chen, who had been born as Pond.
Pond? Okay.
Yeah.
The
So
first
him and
name
Pond are
or
just chilling, you know, they're fishing. They're growing tomatoes because his parents were tomato farmers, and they just like basically like spent their adult lives there, like experimenting with butter, experimenting with like all these different things.
Real
And
culinary
then
masters.
time check.
4 minutes left.
Okay, so you know, Pond just turns to James. He's like, dude, like I'm having so much fun.
I'm having
And
like a great time.
James is like, I'm pretty good at fishing, aren't I? And I just got it pretty much right away. He's like, dude, you're great at everything. Okay. So, but then they like look across the pond and they see it's not a person. Okay.
Can you
It's
describe
like
it to me?
they're looking across the pond and it's like regular grass. And then just like a giant blurry area, and then regular grass. Okay, it's like the blurry area is like 7, 8 foot tall, and there's just like one solid black hole in the middle of like what would be like a cyclops head area. Okay,
No.
immediately pond,
The
like
character, not the body of water.
not the actual pond. Pond is like, ah, oh, jeez, not again. Melts.
Okay.
Okay. Because he's the new guy, Frozza can basically murk him. It's
Okay,
like
just
easy
anytime he
for him.
wants. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. But James had like talked to Pond, and Pond had remembered more than him. So at
Yeah.
this point, he kind of knows that like there's something more going on, and like Frozza's like this sort of like undefeatable entity. Okay.
No.
And at that point, both James and Pond had been working on something new. Okay.
What was it?
Their next door neighbor, the potato farmer, had been frying these potatoes. Oh, so good. Okay.
He cutting them up into little strips?
Yeah, there was something missing though.
Was he of
Okay.
French descent?
Yeah, his name was Jacques. Okay.
Jacques.
Okay, and Jacques sees this like blur, and he's like, James, come on, come on. And they're like running away from it, and it's like moving
Yeah.
like a sloth because
Yeah.
Frozzle's like kind of slow moving. Okay. And basically, they run, they're into the other barn, and James had gone back for Bessie the cow. Okay. So Bessie and him and Frozzle, the first, I don't know if you knew this, but the first version of ketchup was very dairy infused.
There's
Okay.
a lot of butter in it.
They mix it all together, and they are like basically, Jacques was carrying some of those fried potatoes, the French fries, if you will. Time check.
1 minute left.
Okay. And, basically, like, James is in there like this like mad scientist. He's like throwing in, like all these like spices, and like he's like, it's like, wow, this is such a gorgeous red thing going. Okay. And James is like, wow, this like smells a lot like what Pond had described to me as like Southern Chinese dishes with pickled fish. And all of a sudden, Jacques whips out his guitar, okay? And he's just start ripping some Kentucky bluegrass, okay? And James like locks it, and Frozzle knocks down the barn door, when all of a sudden they dunk this French fry in, and they eat the first ever French fry and ketchup. And Gorb, the joy was so deep that Frozzle got launched like 100 light years away. And then their newest son, Jacques' newest son, saw James and gave him a big dabbing high five.
Great time.
Wow.
All right. What is, oh boy,
Oh
indeed.
boy.
Oh boy.
Sometimes you just gotta,
Just gotta,
You
oh boy it.
gotta, you gotta, oh boy,
Oh.
with the brightness, with the beauty. Okay, Gorb, you ready?
Sing it, poetry slam it. Yeah, okay, what's my prompt? Oh, what's my
Okay,
prompt?
your prompt is to tell me about the poetry slam that can't stop ever.
A poetry slam that can't stop ever. Okay, what are my two items?
Your two items chosen by me are
Okay.
the dominatrix,
Okay. The dominatrix. Okay.
and slime. Band the slime banding.
Okay. So hold on. The dominatrix and slime banding is a.
Dominatrix and slime banding, that's
Okay. A
right.
verb. Okay. I'll go for my third item is going to be sprinkler system.
Sprinkler system.
Yeah, that sounds about
I
right.
definitely had a timer this whole time, and it was ready the whole
It was
time, and
ready.
now it's ready like it was already. Okay, here we go.
Okay,
Ready,
perfect. All
set,
right.
go.
So the poetry slam that can never stop.
That's
What a
right.
tale. What a
What a
tale.
tale.
You know, it's quite a tale, let me tell you.
It's a
So
tale. It's
it's
the
a tale.
taliest tale.
It's the taliest tale. So really, I mean, before we all right, there's one thing we got to get straight, right? For the listener
Yeah.
paying attention, hopefully taking notes.
This tail ain't curly.
All right, listener. First thing you need to know about math. There's five
Yeah.
fundamental forces in the universe. Gravity, indifference. Ugh. It's just ugh. Like frustration doesn't capture it in English.
Yeah.
Ugh. The blackness inside each of us and great times, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to go into all the complex math and how you can take those five things and create
Anything.
gravity. Yeah, matter. That's for science nerds, right?
Yeah, who needs
Not what
that?
we are on this show. You know, this is no Bill Nye over here.
Yeah.
This is a historical nonfiction
This is biblically accurate.
And so, with that in mind, I need to introduce you to Kirby Smithens.
What, Herbie?
Kirby, yeah, Kirby
Love that.
Smithens. Yeah, Kirby Smithens. He's just the guy. He's just a guy.
He's just a
He's a
guy,
guy.
Herbie
He's just a
Smithens.
guy. He's just a guy. He owns a sprinkler department store.
Well, you got to get your sprinklers from Herbie Smithens.
Yeah. Now he doesn't install the system, right? So we'll get, you know, he doesn't do any of that
Okay.
system setup. So, but like if you're like, oh, you know, I wonder what kind of interesting shapes my sprinkler can come in. That's when you go to Kirby Smithens Sprinkler Emporium.
He's got some curvy sprinklers, or
Yeah, I mean, just like one that looks like a flamingo.
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you know, he's a fun guy. He's just a guy. You know,
He's been involved in some great times.
he's had some great times. He's had quite a bit of indifference and ugh.
Okay.
He's not that savvy unless it comes to sprinklers, but you know,
Yeah.
we all have a little bit of the five fundamental forces inside each of us, don't we?
Exactly.
That said, though, one
Yeah.
thing Kirby Smithens had a lot of was the blackness inside his soul.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, that sounds worse than it is. He wasn't a serial killer or anything. No.
Okay. He just had, there was something, like, was there a subject?
Yeah, so his thing was anytime somebody chewed gum around him, he would purposely go out of his way to kick small animals. Yeah. It was, I mean, so,
Prime displacement.
you know, it, well, true displacement, but it was, you know, it was bizarre because, like, you could
Yeah.
chew gum. And there's like no small animals in the vicinity, right? And Kirby's like, he's not gonna like, it's, when I say small, it's gotta be something where it's like not gonna be a threat to Kirby. So we're talking like a
Like a
mouse,
guppy?
like a gerbil, yeah, like a guppy, a goldfish, you know, can't be too small, it
That's
can't be an
concerning
ant.
behavior.
It is. Well, I said he had a lot of that blackness, and so he's got a lot of the fourth one in there, the frozzle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's frazzled up.
He doesn't have enough pond in him.
Yeah.
Now Kirby Smithens, you know, he's a sprinkler salesman. He doesn't do the systems. He doesn't do the systems. They have another guy
Just the
who does the
different
sprinkler
kinds.
systems. Yeah. He doesn't do the install, but he'll sell you the parts. So
Yeah.
Kirby Smithens, sprinkler salesman. He's a guy. He
He's a
can be
guy.
nice. He's got a bit of the darkness in him. He kicks small animals when people chew
Has
gum
anyone
near
ever
him.
like caught him?
Doing it? Yeah, I mean
Yeah.
a couple times. Yeah, it's, you know, it's
Has he
concerning. They're like,
served jail time?
no,
Or was it just
mostly,
like ants and they're like, oh.
yeah, it was like a mouse, and people were like, Kirby, that's kind of fucked up, man. But then he was like, all right, just stop chewing that gum around me. I
He's
don't
got to have
want to be
signs up at
kicking,
his
but you're
store,
making me
right?
kick. What's up?
Does he have signs up at his store to prevent gum chewing?
You No. And the reason he
Oh.
doesn't is because, I mean, he's got a lot of the third one in him too, the oomph. So like he can
Yeah.
get easily fr he's a bit curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
So, he tried to put a sign up once that said no gum chewing in the store. And obviously, like every kid from the high school down the block just
Like this.
hubba bubba their way all the way in there. And
Uncle
then
Animal's had a bad week.
two weeks later, the town was down like 30 cats. It was bad. So yeah, now
No.
he doesn't do signs anymore.
Is there anything redeeming about him?
I mean, he can make a good sprinkler.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, but other than that, he's like, that's really his one vice,
Okay. I mean, it's a pretty big vice.
It is a pretty big vice. But anyway, we're getting off track because this story's not
Hold on, hold
about.
on. Not to interrupt again, but I
Go
have to
ahead.
know why gum chewing.
I mean, I'm sure Kirby would like to know too.
He doesn't know.
It's just one of those things. I don't know. It's just like, it's like for Kirby, if he can hear someone chewing on some gum, it's like you took an air horn and put it next to your ear, and
Yeah.
it was a full blast. And
Okay.
it just would not stop until you kicked an animal smaller than a bird
The
box.
even after the gum chewing finishes, he still hears
Well, he's got to get it out. Listen, I'm just saying, he's got
it.
problems. That's really all this was a long about way to say that Kirby Smithens has problems. Okay. Now, all that said, this story's not about Kirby Smithens. That's where I was going with that. I got confused. So one day, walking into the store, is this guy, this other
Okay.
guy. Now,
Yeah.
and this guy's name is Luby Magoop.
Magoo.
Luby Magoop. It's this
What a
guy.
great name.
That's a great name. That's first thing Kirby Smithens said is what a great name. And Luby Magoop says, yeah, I know. I'm just that cool. Now,
Yeah.
anyway, Curbs, I want you to show me the most badass sprinkler system that you have got here.
Oh yeah.
And Kirby is like, are you sure? You think you can
Can
handle
you
that?
handle
And Sloob Magoop says, I can handle anything, Kirby.
it?
Sloobie Magoop says, I can handle anything. You want a piece of gum? And Kirby says, oh God, no.
At
Okay,
least
geez.
is Slooby Lube, is he chewing?
No, he put it back in his
Oh,
pocket.
thank
Listen,
God.
Slooby Lube Magoop has got a he's got a good read on people. He seemed to get a subtle subconscious sense that if he started chewing his orbit, a
Something would go
small
wrong.
mouse in the neighborhood might receive unwanted blows.
Yeah. Good
Now,
old Slooby
so Kirby Smithens,
Lube.
first thing he does, he takes him and he says, come here in the back room. I really got a sprinkler system that's gonna blow your mind.
The good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff. We keep the goods. We don't do installs though. I don't set it up. Okay? I could sell you the piece, but I don't set it up. And Sloopy McCoop says, don't worry, it's fine. All right.
Yeah.
Now, Kirby McSmithens takes Sloopy McGoop into the back. He shows him
Yeah.
this massive sort of like picture like
Oh,
a
God.
wrought iron metal. Like 5 feet tall yard sculpture,
What's it
and
look
then
like?
like an oil rig, but smaller. But instead of pumping oil out of the earth, it sprays high powered, like it's like a farm sprinkler. Have you ever seen a farm sprinkler? But like just painted matte black with like a
If you
dragon
want your
head.
yard to look like a water version of There Will Be Blood.
Exactly, pretty much. And Kirby Smithens says, we call this baby the Dominatrix.
Oh, yeah.
He said we can get, he said 80 gallons flowing per second out of that nozzle. Set up 10 of them. I don't do the setup, but we could put 10 of them theoretically on your yard, Mr. Magoop.
Yeah.
And Slooby says, oh, This is just what I'm looking for. And Kirby says, okay, well, let's talk cash. All
Yeah.
right.
How much is it gonna run me?
Time check.
You have 12 minutes and 12 seconds.
Okay. Now remember earlier when I said this story isn't about Kirby Smithens.
Yeah.
So you're gonna come to see in about 5 seconds how this was really just a long intro. So Kirby Smithens says, let's see the cash.
Yeah.
And Floopy Magoop says, hold up. I'm pulling out my hamster real quick. I need to chew some gum while I think. And he does
Helps
this. He
clear the
pulls out.
mind.
Yeah, exactly. He's Floopy, Floopy Loop. He needs to chew the
Yeah.
gum to clear the mind. Now, anyway, he chews his gum, pulls out this hamster, and immediately Kirby McSmithens loses his shit.
Oh,
Luckily,
God.
guys, the hamster's fake. It's an op.
Oh.
Kirby Smithens, like full pummel on this hamster.
Yeah.
And Sloomy Magoop says, gotcha. PETA, undercover.
Oh!
And they get him. They arrest Kirby Smithens. After
PETA
like
are the
30
police
cats.
now.
Well, it's like a consulting thing. I don't know. It's Sloopy.
Like a private investigator.
When Sloopy comes around and says, hey, 30 cats missing is an issue, the local PD is gonna be like, all right, come
Yeah,
on,
you're right.
Sloop. Mr. Magoop, show us what you got. Now, anyway, beautiful takedown. Kirby Smithens is doing time. And
Yeah.
Sloopy Magoop goes back, right? Goes back to
Yeah.
his Hyundai Sonata, hops in, puts the fake hamster on the dash.
I
Right.
picture this is the 1800s.
It might
Damn,
be. Yeah,
sprinkler systems.
and they don't have Hyundai Sonatas either, I'm pretty sure.
Wait,
Anyway.
did he at least bring home the giant oil rig sprinkler system?
Well, he now he, I mean, to be fair, it's really not Sloopy style. He
Yeah.
really he
He
has
was
like a
just getting his
two
foot in the door.
He has a two-bedroom apartment in Cleveland. He doesn't really need a
He doesn't
sprinkler
even have a
system.
yard.
He doesn't. But that's why he's undercover, PETA. Now, anyway, I'm getting distracted here. But so Slooby goes down to the pub to meet with his friend, Guama Wama Sumbop. They call him G for short.
Yeah.
Now, so
Jiguama.
Slooby, it's not really important here, but Slooby. He's drinking with G, and he's just like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, man. Like the
Yeah.
work is good, but it's heavy, right? I'm taking
Yeah.
down assholes every 2, 3 weeks who are hurting innocent creatures. But I'm like, there's only so many times where I can watch this decoy hamster get hurt, this, and it's just I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And Guama Wama says, listen. I get it. Have you ever heard of slime banding? And Slooby says, no, what is that? He said, listen, I know a guy. He's looking for people to it's like a new way where I feel like you could use your skills to make some money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sloopy's like, okay, well, what
Like
exactly
his
is?
particular skills will come in handy.
Yeah, being undercover, fighting for the rights of animals. I don't know. He doesn't know what slime banding is yet. That's
Yeah.
the first thing he says. He says, oh, well, what was the front? Well, G, what is slime banding, right?
Yeah.
And G says, well, I don't know. You have to talk to Terry about that. Here's his number, though.
But
Here
you're a
you're
great
looking.
fit.
The long story short, Slooby calls Terry. Terry's like, oh, yeah, I
Yeah.
got that slime banding. I got you. Come on through. We'll get you set up. Slooby goes over to Terry the next day.
Did he explain what it was?
Not over the phone, he didn't.
Okay.
And Terry says, Slooby, how much do you know about slime banding? And Slooby says, about 0%. I have
Yeah.
no knowledge. And Terry says, well, you know about free diving? And he's like, you mean like underwater? He's like, yeah. And he's like, Yeah, I know about free diving. And then Terry says, well, it's nothing like that. Slime banding is when you take a bunch of psychedelics, go to a poetry slam, and try to last as long as you can.
Like live
And,
stream it or something.
well, that's Sluby's next question is, well, how does this make me money?
Yeah.
And Terry says, you don't even know, the cash will be flowing. Right? He's like, I'm still a little reluctant.
Whatever you say, Terry.
A little reluctant to really get involved deeply in this, considering I still don't exactly know what it entails.
Yeah.
And Terry says, that's just the Quaaludes talking. You'll be ready in 15 when the coke hits.
Yeah.
Floby looks down at his cup and realizes he's been drugged. You kind of get voluntold to slime band, right? It's not
Yeah.
like once you show up at Terry's, it's you're not going at that
You can't
point.
go back.
Yeah, Terry's he's got a lot of the fourth one in him too, but we're not going to go there. Anyway,
Yeah.
time check.
About 6 minutes.
When Sloob Lube Magoop comes to.
He has a great poetry slam name.
He does. He does. Right, he's sitting in the far back of a like a Starbucks. It's like 9 p.m. Coffee time is closed, but they're like renting out this space, I don't know, for like the
Open
amateur
mic night.
poetry. Yeah, it's open mic night, right? Yeah. Everybody's got their like espressos and their winter caps. Even though it's
Yeah.
like September at best. But, and Sloopy's in the back, pops
Yeah.
into, the Quaaludes wear off, I guess.
He's like jittery or
He's not so much jittery at this point, a little bit jumpy, but more so, he seems to recall the conversation about poetry slams, what, yeah, psychedelics.
yeah.
Somehow money is involved in this. He really
He like
remembers.
remembers that if he does it, he'll get paid.
He's got a vague concept, which is about as much as Terry let him know. And he does
Yeah.
remember one other thing, right?
Okay.
He remembers Terry screaming at him
Oh.
in his Toyota Camry before he walked into the Starbucks. They
It's
didn't take the Sonata here. It's not a Sonata event.
that vibe.
he said, whatever you do, don't walk past the ficus. And to be fair, Sloob Lube Magoop at that point was like, yeah, I got it. I can do it. Let's
I
go.
ain't walking past no
So he didn't,
ficus.
yeah, he wasn't really paying too much attention. But he does come to, he's in the Starbucks, eyes open, third eye open.
At the mic or still waiting?
No, he's in the back. He's in the back,
Okay.
right? He sees a lot of things. He sees a small crowd. I mean, what can you expect from a Tuesday night Starbucks open mic night?
Does he
It's
have a
like,
plan for his act?
we'll get there. It's like 15 people max, right? He sees, a young woman currently reading at the mic. He doesn't really know what she's saying because it sounds to him like the screeches of tiny sea urchins dying. I don't
Oh,
know. It's not
I thought you were
good.
gonna say chewing gum.
No. He Sloob Magloob Magoop is a good guy. He doesn't have that darkness in him.
Yeah, he's just a grown man trying his best.
He is. He sees other things. He notices there's a ficus. He
Oh.
feels like that's important, but he can't really remember
Not
why.
why.
He sees towards the bar. There's a barista that currently seems to be a velociraptor. He's assuming that's probably just the drugs that Terry gave
Something
him.
deeper than Quaaludes is going on.
Oh, it's so much deeper. Well, he took a little slime band beforehand,
Oh,
which is
yeah.
that's why it's called slime banding. You take some of the slime.
The cocktail.
Yeah, it's a hell of a cocktail. I mean, he sees the velociraptor barista. There's an Amish choir like 2 rows behind him. Which is interesting because he knows he's in the last row, but he looks 2 rows behind and there's a full-on Amish choir. So,
Sounds about right.
He has the presence of mind to know that he might not be ready to get up there on that mic.
Yeah.
Time check.
2 minutes and 15 seconds.
So the sea urchin screeches come to an end. Everybody's like, whoa, sparkle fingers. Great job, Catherine. I said, next up, we have, make sure I'm reading this right. Slooby Lube Magoop. Is that correct? Are you in the audience?
Spotlight shines on him.
So she says, "Are you in the audience?" Where usually most people will say something like "Here" or "Yes, I am," or start walking up. Slooby Lube Magoop says, like a death screech, and
It's
rises out of
already
his
performance
chair.
art.
Like an automaton. Yeah, they're impressed, right?
Yeah.
He's genuinely having like an ego death, terrifying experience, but the crowd is, they're like, wow, this guy's legit. He should
Yeah.
be performing somewhere other than this Starbucks. Now, time check. All
Minute and 10 seconds.
right, there's one thing you need to know about the Slime Band cocktail. It does not interact well with ficus chemicals.
Yeah, no.
Hence why Terry was like, whatever you do, don't go past the ficus. I should also mention that the mic is like behind two ficuses up at the front.
Yeah, so he was doing from the start.
And, in a combination of stage fright, compound terrifying hallucinations, the belief that his arms have turned into jello, Blue Magoop wasn't really thinking about the ficus advice.
Yeah.
Time check.
30 seconds.
So, he walks up towards the mic, screeching like a bat being stabbed, turns around, looks at the audience, and says, "Lube." And they love it. They eat this shit up. They're like, wow, he's good. The problem is, though, as soon as he says that, the Amish choir doubles. There's four rows
Oh.
behind, then it triples. Then there's eight rows. And that is how Sloob Magoop ended up at the Poetry Slam that never ends, just surrounded by infinite Amish choirs and a Starbucks in Cleveland.
Wow.
Oh,
Sometimes
God.
you just get Amish choir.